and deliver your heart to the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Hallelujah. We can do better than that. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. He's worthy of anything we can give him today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I am able to come into the house of the living God. Hallelujah.
Yes, all right.
See, I don't come into just a house of God today, but I come into the house of the living God.
The living God.
Because all right. Our God died, but he is not dead today. But he sits on the highest throne of the universe.
Yes.
And he's even here today. His spirit is here. His power is here to move and minister according to what he would do today. Hallelujah. I never want to get away from that. I never want to get to a place where I can come into the house of the Lord and just feel his presence and not be moved by that. Because you see, that's what differentiates you and I, this church, from any other church in the city. Because, there's people together today. They've sung songs and they're going to hear a man preach from the word. But, they don't get to feel what we feel today. They don't get to experience the presence of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You and I are blessed high above measure this morning. And I'm thankful to him for that. It is so good to be here. So good to be in Athens behind this sacred desk. Amen. I want to give honor to the heart, Brother Grissom, your ministry team here. How blessed this morning. I thank you for that above all else. Amen. Amen. It is an exciting day to live for the Lord. It really is. Because there's no other time in history like this time. Events have not culminated like they are culminating today. Because I believe that we are in the last days, folks. And let me tell you, you've heard it all your lives, but Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming soon.
Yes.
He said, when you think not, that's when I'm going to come. And I want to be ready. How about you?
I do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. It's very handy to have your Bible at meetings like these. We tend to read from them very often. And so it's good to have with you. Amen. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. We're going to read 5 verses of scripture through verse 19. Amen. It's been a while since I've been behind this pulpit, and I like this pulpit. I like this one. It has many memories. Amen. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15 begins by saying, "This is a faith worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." Aren't you thankful for that?
Thank you, Jesus.
"I obtained mercy. When I wasn't worthy of it, when I didn't deserve it, I obtained mercy. I have been a recipient of mercy so much in my life when I deserve to be cast to the potter's field. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." Holding the faith. And a good conscience, which unfortunately some having put away, could faith have made shipwreck. Hallelujah. Today, with the help, the grace, the anointing of God Almighty, we want to minister this morning under this title, and it'll make sense a little bit later. Except ye abide. Except ye abide. Hallelujah. Can we pray together this morning? Jesus, we love you. We understand and know that your word is anointed. It's going to accomplish whatever you sent it for to do in this house. But God, do that which we cannot. Anoint the lips of clay. I pray for unction and utterance of the Spirit be given liberally in this place. I pray every ear be anointed to hear, every mind to comprehend, every heart to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls this morning. Have your way, Jesus. Let your name be glorified in this place today. And we give you praise. We give you glory for it. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. As long as you'll get with me, you can be seated. If not, please remain standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the church today.
Thank you.
I'm thankful for the church. If it wasn't for the church, where would you and I be today? Well, first of all, we wouldn't be here. I may be just waking up on a Sunday morning. But I'm not thankful just for this church. I'm thankful for the church. It's the greatest institution God's ever given to mankind today. And the church has, over the years, been likened to a ship. Let me sing about that. The old gospel ship. The old ship of Zion. Even the Magruders, you may know them, have a song that said, I'm going home with Jesus. The captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board. Destination is heaven, safe on that crystal shore. Hallelujah. Throughout the years, what you and I have obtained membership in today has been likened to a ship. And we look to Scripture, and don't get me wrong today, I'm not going to base the message on lyrics of a song. Amen. The scriptures back me up today. Genesis 6:6. This is talking about Noah. It said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You see, the ark was the only means where humanity was to be saved in that day. And you and I have obtained membership in the only thing that will save humanity in our day. You see, the church of the living God is the only thing that will save my or your soul. Hallelujah. Because you've got to obtain membership in this thing we call the church if you have any hope of a salvation, if you have any hope of escaping the damnation of a soul to a devil's hell. The ark was the only means whereby any humanity was to be saved in this day. And you and I see in that same comparison the church. This wonderful thing called the church is the only thing that will ever save your or my soul. Hallelujah. In the ark there was one window of discovery. There was one window whereby he could look out. And you see, you and I have one window of discovery. And it's called the Word of God. Because nothing that you will ever hear from God will ever contradict His Word. So even though you may think you've heard from God, if it contradicts the Word of God, I'm sorry, but you've been mistaken. The only window of discovery you'll ever have in this life is the Word of the living God. He will always validate His Word. The Word is anointed. He said it'll accomplish whatever He sends it for to do. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to discern to the bone and the thought and the intent of the human heart. Hallelujah. There was only one window of discovery in the ark, and there was only one way you'll ever know or discover anything about God of heaven, and it's through the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be mistaken today. That word is a powerful word, and it's a word of discovery. Hallelujah. He said that He would illuminate His word to us. His Spirit would lead us in all truth. How is He going to do that? He's not going to do it by giving you some fresh word that no one's ever heard. No, I'm sorry. I don't really think anyone has a real fresh word, but it's always founded in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Nothing's new under the sun, Solomon said. There's nothing I can preach this morning that I'm sure some of you haven't heard already, but it's good because it's founded in the Word today. Hallelujah. In the ark, Noah and his ark, there was only one door of entry. There was one way into the ark, and You and I know probably where I'm going today. You and I have only one door of entry into the church. And who is that? It's Jesus. What did he say? He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. You can't look to any other deity, if there even was one. You can't look to any other man-made God, because it's just that, a man-made God. But we don't serve a God of wood. We don't serve a God of stone. We serve the very spiritual, eternal, omnipresent, living God of heaven, creator of everything that is. And you'll not get into the kingdom of God but by Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. There's one way in. There's, what's the song? One, one, one. One way to God. One, one, one. One way to God. There's one, one, one. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. It's the name today. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this morning, you can be baptized. You can go into the water, but if it's not in the name, I'm sorry, you just got wet. Hallelujah. That's really all that matters. You didn't really receive anything from Jesus, from the God of heaven, because you didn't have the name applied to you. But when you go down into a watery grave and the name above every name is applied to you, you come up to walk in newness of life. You come up and you have taken on the name, the family name. You see, when I got baptized, I went down Brandon Looney, but I came up Brandon Looney Jesus, because I got the name. I'm in the family. I got the name applied to my life. There's one way, and it's in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Noah and his family, the eight that were on the ark, they were saved by water. The thing that damned and condemned the world is the thing that saved Noah and his family. First Peter, he supports me on this. He said, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few that as eight souls were saved by water, the like figure were unto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, even baptism doth also now save us. Hallelujah. Because you see, there's no ceremony that goes on around this baptistry that blesses the water. We don't have holy water. We don't have those things. I'm sure it's just tap water. I'm sure that's all it is. There's no property in the water that really, there's no magic. There's no voodoo. It's nothing special. It's the same water you're going to pull out of your house when you get home. But it's all because of what's going on. It's because you're going down in obedience to the Word of God. It's because God of heaven commanded it, and you have obeyed it, and you're going down in the right formula in Jesus, and you're going down in the right mode in full immersion. And it's when that happens, hallelujah, it's going to save you in that day. He said, whoever believeth not, or he that is believeth and is baptized, shall be saved. But it doesn't really stop there. You and I understand that. We're in the United Pentecostal Church. It's not a two-step plan today, hallelujah, but through obedience to God's command. Everything that God told Noah to do, he did it. And through that obedience to God's command, we see after the rain and the flood had come, he sent forth the dove, and it came back, and the dove descended into the ark. And what is the dove always representative of? Or most of the time, it's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, because obedience to his command, the dove came back into the ark of Noah and his family, and you and I, the same exact way. Through obedience to God's only plan, we get to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing in my life, hallelujah, that has ever been surpassed the day I received the Holy Ghost. Hey, I've had a marriage day, and that was a wonderful day. I love that day. That's probably the second best day of my life. And I got to see my little boy born into this world. That was, oh my, that was a miracle in and of itself. I cannot explain to you. And that was a wonderful day. But I still must say that there was never a better day than right here when I stood right here and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. You see, the God of heaven, he came down into my soul. The God of heaven filled me with love, and he grabbed my tongue and he began to speak for the language I did not know, I did not learn, I did not understand. But the Holy Ghost of God came into me, and that was the best day of my life today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll never experience anything greater than that gift of God. Hallelujah. You see, because it wasn't just a feeling that I received. It wasn't just a few goosebumps. Thank you. It wasn't anything like that. You see, stop for a moment and think about this. Understand, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the Spirit of the living God. And he's coming to take up residence in our hearts and to guide us and to comfort us. That's what it is. It's the comforter. Hallelujah. Can you wrap your mind around that? I really can't. I can't. That the God that always was and always will be, he saw fit to put himself in me. If I was able, if God gave me the option, if you will, to revise his plan, to think and to come up with a better way to obtain salvation, I don't believe there's a better way. I can't think of anything better. I can't think of one thing better than to have the Spirit of God in me. Can you imagine that? Can you see how blessed we are today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me tell you today that God will back his word up. And it's always through the obedience to his command and his plan that he will fulfill his part. He said, in the day you seek me, you're going to find me. In Acts 2, he said, it's a promise. He said, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. You repent, that's your part. You get baptized correctly, that's your part. But God's part is the Holy Ghost. That's all his realm. I can't teach you the Holy Ghost. Now, I can make you look like a fool, but I can't teach you the Holy Ghost. I can't grab your tongue and shake it around and say, hey, you got it. You got it. No, I can't do it. I could, I suppose, but what does that do? It does nothing. It's just me and you acting crazy. That's all it is. But the Holy Ghost, the infilling of that Spirit of God is his realm. It's his part. And let me tell you, every time that you will obey his command, he will hold up his end. Hallelujah. Every time. Let me tell you, God's never failed me. God has never failed me one time. I do not expect him to ever fail me. Now, have I messed up? Oh, my, I don't want to get into that. Have I done things that were done? Yeah. But God, has he? Has he ever failed you? No. No, he hasn't. Now, I'm glad that I can stand here before you in Athens, Texas, behind this sacred desk and tell you he's never failed me today. He has always been faithful to me. And I know he's been faithful to you. It's nothing new. It's something we get to enjoy every day. Hallelujah. Let me get on my notes this morning. The church has been likened to a ship. We find these comparisons throughout the story of Noah and the ark. I want to go to Acts 27. It's going to talk about Paul and when he was shipwrecked. Acts 27:22 says, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul is a prisoner on his way to Rome to see Caesar. He's on the ship as a prisoner with the centurions and all the staff of the ship, and this is him speaking. There's a great storm. They're scared. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. Paul has been accused like so many times in his life it happened, but he appeals his case to Caesar. He sails from Jerusalem going on his way to Rome. They stop at Crete, and there Paul admonishes the centurion to stay in the harbor. You need to stay right here, man. And unfortunately, he's just a prisoner. Why should they listen to him? They don't. And then they're caught in the storm. And during that storm and during the waves and the crashing all around the ship, and I'm sure the ship is being violently tossed about. It's a very fearful time. This is the law. This is going to go hand in hand with you this morning, Brother Hart. Hallelujah. And so in the storm, we find that Paul received a confirmation from God. Even the angel of God came down and said, it's okay. You don't have to worry. No one's going to die. The ship will be lost. And so he goes on. He's trying to encourage the crew of that ship. And in verse 34, he said, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, because let me back up just a little bit. There were some that were so afraid they were about to jump ship. They were about to get in the lifeboat and try to get away and save themselves. And with that about to happen, Paul says to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Let me go ahead and ruin my whole message. Except you abide in the ship of the church, you cannot be saved. Brother Hart told you this morning, get out of the ship. I'm telling you to get in the ship this morning. Stay in the ship. A little bit different. A little bit different. Don't take me wrong. I'm not saying, hey, it was good. And we, a little bit different situation. But hey, except you stay in the church. Except you stay in the church. I'm sorry, people. I cannot be saved unless I stay in the church. Under this umbrella of safety. In this ark of the church. Unless we stay right here, we can't be saved. I'm sorry. We're plain. But let me tell you, there's a reason to stay in the ship. There's many, many reasons, and I won't scratch them this morning. But first of all, there's danger outside the ship. Oh, church, there's so much danger outside of the ship. 2 Timothy gives us almost a snapshot today. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. How much does that sound like today? How much does that sound like the hour you and I are living in? In the world, obviously, not in the church. I'm telling you that my point is there's danger. That's what you're going into. You get out of the ship. You get out of the church. That's what you're going to. Without natural affection. You're going straight into traitors, and you're going into those who are heady and high-minded. You're going straight into the arms of those who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's danger outside of the ship of the church. But let me tell you, I wouldn't try to scare you in the church. You see, there's security in the church. There's safety in the ship. Mark 4 and 37. Brother Hart mentioned it. He said, there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Jesus and the disciples were on the ship in the storm. Talking of Jesus, verse 38 says, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Being in the ship with Jesus, they enjoyed the security provided by it. Because I'd much rather be in a ship in the storm than be in the sea in the storm. There's just a natural safety afforded the church. And so the disciples being in the ship, being so close to the Master, they're able to call on him. He wasn't that far away. He was in the hinder part of the ship. But it's because they were in the ship that they had the ability to call on him. And he heard them, and he answered them, and they saw the Master work. Hallelujah. Why? Because the very first thing that had to happen, get in the ship. Stay in the ship. Hallelujah. You see, because storms come. We understand that. I don't want to teach a lesson again, Brother Hart. I'm not trying to do that at all. The storms come. They come to us all. You know, sometimes it rains on the just, sometimes it rains on the unjust, and sometimes it just rains. Life just comes at us full force sometimes. But let me tell you this morning, you can take hope and faith and the understanding that as long as you're in the ship, you can call on Him and He'll hear you. He'll hear you. Now, will you always feel Him? No. You said that this morning. Because you don't feel Him, does that mean He's not there? No. No. Brother Hart mentioned Nahum 1 and 3. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. I take great solace in that this morning, because it's hard to have a storm without clouds. Pretty hard, I think. But Nahum tells us the clouds, which are a lot of times a requirement for a storm, are nothing but the dust of His feet. So that means that when I'm in the whirlwind, when I'm in the storm of my life, when the clouds are all around and I can't see through, I've just got to know the clouds are the dust of feet. That means He's right there. If the storm is there and the clouds are clouding your vision, it's okay. He's right there above you. His feet are just right above you. And what did Psalm say? He said, lift your eyes up from whence cometh my... I'm going to look up. My redemption draweth nigh today. Hallelujah. God said of Cornelius that his prayers came up as a memorial before Him. And God provided for his household. Why? Why? How can that happen? Well, it's because every day Cornelius was faithful. And it was that faithfulness that came up as a memorial to God. Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't supposed to get into this whole thing. But because he was faithful, he was the first Gentile family to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How wonderful is that? How tremendous is that? So you and I know there is not a one of us today in this house that would get excited about a hit and miss God. I wouldn't. No one would be very excited about a God who, when you pray to Him, you were not sure if He was really there to hear you. I would not be excited about that. I would not be very comforted in the fact that when I'm praying, and yeah, it feels sometimes like I'm by myself, but I know that I'm not. I know that He's hearing, because He's a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness, it said. He's a faithful God. We don't have to worry today. We don't have to worry today. Because the God we serve doesn't sleep nor slumber. He's never on vacation. There's never a time that He just says, I need a break, 15-minute coffee break. No. He's always on the scene. He's always on the job. Whether you see Him, whether you feel Him, doesn't matter. Know that He's there. The just walk by faith and not by sight. So, hey, I want to feel Him all the time. I want to. Never don't want to be in a place that I can't really feel Him. Is it always happen? No. But in those times of pain or grief or fear, I have to know that He's faithful and that He's there. Hallelujah. So you can go to Him and find that He is not going to be somewhere else, but He's going to be right there waiting on you. And so when you go to Him, He will always be there, because God understands the main thing is to just be there. Simon Peter's a very prime example of this. His mistakes are well known. We understand. We know his faults and his failures. But he understood. Simon Peter understood very, very plainly the main thing is to be there. Because he was there when Jesus said, follow me. He was no prize, but he was there. He was there at the Sermon on the Mount. He was no peacemaker, but he was there. He was there at the feeding of the multitude. He had little faith, but he was there. He was at the Transfiguration. He spoke out of turn, but he was there. He was in the upper room. He didn't want to wash feet, but he was there. He was in the garden. He went to sleep, but he was there. He was there when they came for Jesus. He used his sword he should not have, but he was there. He was at Jesus' trial. He lied, he denied, he cried, but he was there. He was at the cross. He had followed far off, but he was there. He was there when Mary told her the resurrection. He was surprised, but he was there. He was there at Galilee when Jesus appeared. It hurt him to be questioned 3 times, lovest thou me, but he was there. He was at the ascension and the commission. He didn't fully understand it all, but he was there. He was there at Pentecost. He was drunk with joy and power. Praise God, he was there. Hallelujah. Was he perfect? No. But he was there. Proverbs says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So I will determine in myself, I will be there in my prayer. I will be there in my worship. I will be there in my service to the Lord. I'm going to be there. The Bible gives us no time frame, but simply states that the man had been lame from his mother's womb. And he was laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. Every day somebody came by and made sure that he was there. Because of his handicap, he could not enter the temple. But he was as close as he could be until the day he could step in. And one day began like every other day. Every other day that had been before it, it began just like that one. But on this day, there were 2 men that came walking by who had just left the upper room experience. Because he was there, he heard the word, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. You see, it never would have happened if he hadn't been there. It never would have received healing if he had not been there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be there today. I want to make sure that anything, I'm always there taking up my spot in the church, because I want to be there. I want to make sure I'm always in service, because I want to be there when he comes and he shows up and he has his way. How about you this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got to skip a whole lot. Amen. But you see, we're in the ship of the church, but we're not aimlessly floating about. I was looking at cruises one time on the internet, and they had a cruise to nowhere. That didn't make sense to me. I don't want to go aimlessly. I want to have purpose and a goal. So you and I are not on a cruise to nowhere. We're not just in the church for the duration of our life just to give us something to do. No, but there is a port of destination today. He said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Let me tell you, except ye abide in the ship, you cannot be saved this morning. Now, do we know when it's going to happen? No. I've heard all my life, he's coming. You've heard all your life, and a lot of you are older than me. Jesus is coming. But no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. No one can tell you when. I say I remember. That's not really true. In 1988, they had that 88 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 1988. Well, in 1989, I should have published a pamphlet that said, I know one reason he didn't come back. Yeah. He didn't. He just didn't. Yeah, there's going to be those that would try to tell you and look, and but you know that today we don't know. We cannot know. But see, I take comfort in this fact. I can look at Abraham this morning and see, because God told Abraham and gave him a promise of a city and a seed. He promised that to Abraham, but Abraham did not see it. But Abraham had a son named Isaac. Now Isaac, Abraham put the trust and the faith in that promise into Isaac to know that it was going to come to pass, but Isaac didn't see it. But Isaac had a son named Jacob. That same desire and faith was passed on to Jacob. Jacob did not see the promise fulfilled, but he had a son named Joseph. Now Joseph didn't see it either, but he believed it and wanted it so much that he told his family, and he said, when you go, take my bones with you. I want to just be in the promise of God. Now Joseph unfortunately did not see it. 400 years after Abraham received the promise, we find Moses on Nebo. He saw it, but he didn't possess it. But Joshua, there was a successor named Joshua. Joshua saw it. Joshua possessed it, and he dwelt in that land of promise. Now, all the way back at Abraham, God said, I'm going to do this, Abraham. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it. I know what it means. It's going to happen. Hundreds of years later is when it was fulfilled. You and I can take comfort and understanding this morning to know that, yeah, I know Jesus is coming. I know He's coming. And just because I don't see it, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And let me tell you today, let me take that a step further. Just because God's a, He said the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. And there are things that God has, I'm sure, promised you today. And they don't seem very near. They don't seem very close. But let me tell you, let me encourage you this morning. It doesn't really matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the face of it. Because God can in an instant change everything. Hallelujah. During my short pastorate, it seemed like almost every service I was preaching about the same thing. I'm sure they were getting tired of it. And it may have been the Lord preparing me somehow, but every time it just seemed like I was always saying to them, it doesn't matter the situation, it doesn't matter the circumstance, it doesn't matter what it looks like. God, in the equation of your problem, and you take every part of it, and it looks bad, but when you insert God, it changes everything. The entire problem no longer is a problem because it has a solution. Yes. And that solution is Jesus the Christ. So it doesn't really matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the situation. Let me tell you that this morning. God sees. God knows. And above all else, God cares. He cares for you this morning. He cares for me. And anything that's happening in our lives today, let me assure you this morning that He's on the scene. He's working somehow. You can't see it. You can't see it all the time. You don't really understand it. It looks bad. But let me tell you this morning, God is working on your behalf. Now, is it always going to be good? Is it always going to be a good outcome the way we think good outcomes should be? No. Romans 8:28 does not say all good things work together. It says all things work together for good. There's going to be some good things. There's going to be some bad things. Unfortunately, I cannot promise you a bed of roses as you walk this life, but I can tell you it will be worth it all in the end. So they all come together and they work together for our good. Hebrews 11:39 says, and these all, this is the great faith chapter. This all the great heroes of faith, and sums it up by saying, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All the great heroes, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, all of them had a good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise. Why? God having provided some better thing for us.
Yes.
Can you? That's exciting. God having provided some better thing for you and I, something better than Abraham experienced, something better than Moses experienced, the plagues and the miracles, something better than that. Ephesians 1 kind of tells us a little bit. He says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What does that mean? It basically means that you and I today, we have an inheritance. It's deposited on the other side. But we get the earnest of it. We get the interest of it. So you and I, can you imagine? We're living on interest today.
Yeah.
I'd love to be so financially secure that I can just live on the interest. That'd be wonderful. Love that. But I'm not, unfortunately. Don't think that. So I don't ask me for money after church or anything like that. I'm sorry. But you and I live in this Christian walk. We live on the interest.
We do.
Can you think of that? Hallelujah. Because we have powerful services. Powerful packed services. And can you imagine as the glory would roll in this place and people will begin to be touched by the ministering spirit of God, and some may react in a very physical way. Some may dance. Some may break down crying in His presence. But it, nevertheless, the Spirit of God is here and it's moving. And then that white hot presence of Almighty God, as that's flowing through this place, and lives are being changed and hearts are being mended, and things are happening according to His will. Can you imagine? Think, that's just the interest of it. That's not the principle of it. So if you and I live in this glorious, blessed life that you and I live, because don't doubt it, friend, we're blessed this morning. We're blessed. But this that we enjoy is nothing but the interest. Can you think how it's going to be on the other side? Oh, the glory that hasn't yet been told. What's going to happen? What's it going to be like when we loose, or we are loose from this fleshly body, and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye to be like Him? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the glory that we'll behold on the other side? But let me tell you this morning, friend, you can't get there except ye abide in the ship this morning. Can we stand this morning all across the building? Hallelujah. Let me be very honest with you. This has gone a little differently. I expected us to be swinging from the chandeliers about now. But it's okay. I feel the Holy Ghost. Yes. God can take the littlest thing that we give to Him. What's the song say? Little is much when God is in it. So unless you give God something to work with, He really is kind of bound and not able to work. And you see, he's never asked for perfection. He's never asked for any of us to have it all together. He's merely asked for us to come to Him in meekness, being very humble. He said, it's okay. You don't have to have it all together. Bring me your mess. Bring me your problem. Bring me what you feel so bad about in your life. That's okay. He said, bring that to me. He said, that's what I want. He said, for ashes, He was going to give us beauty. He's going to turn our sorrow into joy. I'm very encouraged this morning. Very encouraged to know that I can bring my sorrow to the Lord.
Yes, you can.
I can bring my sorrow to Jesus.
Yes.
And He's not offended by that. He's not going to look down on me for that. He understands. Very human. We have these emotions. We have these things. But He said, that's okay. He said, that's okay. That's what I want. I want you to depend on me. He said, I want you to bring that sorrow, because by yourself, that sorrow will never be anything but that. But when you bring your sorrow to me, I can turn it into joy. When you bring your ashes to me, guess what? I can turn that into beauty. Something that did not look very pretty before. I said, I'm going to take that and I'm going to wow you with it. Because believe it or not, you and I are the apple of His eye. He cares about us. He loves us more than anybody else can ever love us. And so He's a good God today. Won't you come? I just feel, let's pray for a little bit. Could you come for a little while? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel that ministering spirit of the living God this morning. And I'm not going to feign to know what issue you have or what sorrow you may have come into the house of God with. I really don't care what it is, because God doesn't care. He just said, come on and bring that sorrow to me and I'll turn it into beauty. Come on and bring that broken heart to me, and by my spirit I'll bind it up.